State Street and the First Midwest Bank Studio.
ESPN 1000.
The home of the White Sox.
WMVP Chicago.
Coming up next.
Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports.
Bring Waddle and Sylvie with you at home or in your office. Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
A lot of great stuff going on. The Bears story about the stadium and them putting in a bid for Arlington Heights, where Arlington Park resides. A lot of good calls on that. We'll continue to take your phone calls at 312-332-3776. And the mayor issued, Mayor Lightfoot, a strong statement against the Bears and threw in some jabs about their performance compared to the Packers and the rest of the NFL. She has reissued it on Twitter. They deleted it because they spelled Soldier Field wrong. But they have retweeted that. So it is back out there. Jed Hoyer was on the show earlier. If you want the entire interview, as always, you can go to the ESPN Chicago app. We will replay a portion of it, the newsy stuff on extensions and everything like that, coming up at 5:30. Let's talk to Jeff Passan, though, who joins us each and every week. Baseball insider for ESPN, does great work. He is brought to you by RZA Cadillac Buick GMC in Tinley Park. Hey, Jeff, how are you?
I'm doing better than your voice box is right now, my friend. 4 hours by yourself is no easy task.
I'm never by myself when I have Bleck and Abdallah with me.
Fair point.
Yeah.
And when you have the Bears moving. So I suppose your burden has been eased slightly.
Yeah,
today.
Look, you're an opinionated guy. I mean, the Bears don't have a good stadium. I think you went to a game when the Chiefs were in town. Maybe two years ago, I think it was.
I did. I was going to say it was the game where everyone was wearing their Mahomes Bears jerseys or taping over the Trubisky name on the back.
What did you think of the experience from a stadium standpoint?
Honestly, I thought it was great, but
really?
I thought it was fine. I enjoy downtown stadiums too, and I know it's not like downtown, but I lived in the South Loop when I lived in Chicago, so it kind of felt like home. And I have no beef whatsoever with Soldier Field. I don't know. I'm against taxpayers spending $1 billion on a stadium when very rich people who own teams could be doing it themselves.
Yeah.
So if this is one of those situations where the family wants to go and pay for a stadium, then I'm on board. Otherwise, I look at Soldier Field and I'm like, was good to me. I mean, it's kind of a eyesore, but who cares? Like, are we here to enjoy a stadium aesthetically? Or are we here to watch a freaking football game?
Yeah, they need to add seats, but I'm with you on the taxpayer thing. It's stupid. Like, they totally go after cities. They leverage this to, and then so I'm with you on that. Let's get to baseball. Are the White Sox the best team in Major League Baseball currently?
No, they are not the best team as they are currently constituted. If you get a healthy Eloy Jimenez and Luis Robert back, I think you can make a pretty damn good case that they are. And I understand that's a while off, and they have the best record right now. I think some of that is a function of the division in which they play. But look, wins are wins. We're not taking those things off the board. So the fact that they are atop the standings table in Major League Baseball right now, I think is a testament to the team that you're putting out there every day. And they've had an incredible year so far, and you just hope the last 90 games of the season go as well as the first 70 have.
Yeah. Let me ask you a question about a couple of White Sox players who are up. I asked this to Len Casper the other day, who has the call of every Sox game here on ESPN 1000. All this talk about the Cubs going to Bryan and Javi and Rizzo and extending them or talking during the season. Would the White Sox ever go to Rodon or Lance Lynn, who now Rodon's great and Lance Lynn seems to fit perfect? Would they approach them during the season at all, or is this that too much of a distraction, and do they just wait to free agency to see if they can bring them back?
I mean, I think you have to at least look for that conversation. I just don't anticipate either guy is going to be amenable to it. You know, Carlos Rodon has never been a free agent. And the fact that he can go out there at 29 years old this offseason, coming off a year, if he continues what he's doing, I mean, we're talking about a $150 million pitcher.
That's incredible. $3 million into 150. That? Yeah, that's incredible.
Yeah. I mean, it's interesting. I have not thought to this point, what's Carlos Rodon going to fetch on the free agent market? So that was just me off the top of my head there.
Sure, sure.
So I might be high on that. But if you're a guy who is hitting the market before his age 30 season, coming off a year as dominant as this, someone's going to pay you a lot of money. A lot of money. As for Lance Lynn, I think he was a little frustrated with what he got in free agency last time. And again, unless the unless the White Sox are going to go market value, and the White Sox, generally speaking, have not in the past gone market value on guys, Lance Lynn's not going to be the guy who goes back and resigns. But I think there's definitely a loyalty factor there with Rodon that's going to come into play. There's also a factor called Scott Boras.
Yeah.
And that is a very real thing. And, you know, Scott Boras loves for his players to extract as much as they can when they get that bite at the apple. And as a starting pitcher, quite often you get only one bite. And to get that bite when you're in your 20s, it's awfully appealing, I think, to teams that are out there.
A question about the Cubs negotiations, because we had Jed on the show earlier. We're going to replay some of that at about 5:30. How much do you believe the collective bargaining issues with all these players, it's going to be an interesting negotiation. How much do you think that he wants to see what the new CBA looks like before he agrees to some outlandish deal?
I think everybody should see what the new basic agreement looks like. It's another reason why I don't think an extension is particularly likely, because if you have no idea what the top of the threshold is going to be for the competitive balance tax, if you don't even know if there's going to be a competitive balance tax in there, we just don't know what the general broad strokes of the economics are at this point. So, and by the way, you know, I've been thinking about this in the last minute or so since I said 150. You know who's a better comp for Carlos Rodon? Might be Zach Wheeler. And Zach Wheeler was also coming off a year, remember, in which he spent a good portion of it injured, but ended up getting $118 million from the Philadelphia Phillies, and I believe was offered $122 by the Chicago White Sox. So, if Carlos Rodon, let's put it this way: if Carlos Rodon continues doing what he's doing, he's going to get nine figures.
Wow.
Like, he will get over $100 million if he keeps this up, which is staggering, and which is not something that you would have ever imagined uttering going into this season.
Yeah, no, he's trying out for all those teams, seeing if he's healthy enough. Now he's throwing 100, and he's a Cy Young candidate. I want to ask you about DeGrom from last night, because it was against the Cubs. Is there, what do you know about the injury, and is he going to be able to keep on pitching the way he keeps leaving games early with different ailments?
It's frustrating, right? Because you saw him last night. I mean, it is the most dominant I've seen a pitcher since Pedro Martinez in the late 90s, early 2000s. It's just like when you go out there against him, if you're a hitter, if you're a big league hitter, if you're somebody who has been successful, it's still like, do I have any hope against this guy? That's how freaking good he has been, Sylvie. And that's the frustration that fans, and especially Jacob DeGrom himself, get, because this isn't the first time or the second time, or that, this is four injuries so far this year, and we're a third, you know, not even halfway through the season now. I think he's okay. He's out there throwing today. Mets don't seem to think they're going to need to put him on the injured list. Maybe they give him an extra day or two in between starts, but I want to see him get on a 10-start clean run and see what he can do, because we're getting into Bob Gibson territory here, right? And we're getting into, you know, Pedro 99 2000 territory here. I get it's, you know, not even a dozen starts yet, but man, when a guy has more RBIs than runs allowed this year, I mean, that it tells you Jacob DeGrom's a great athlete and a good hitter, but more than that, what he's doing as a pitcher this season, you know, it's on the verge of being unprecedented.
Yeah. Yeah. I want to play you this. This is from Gerrit Cole last night. I'm sure you've heard it many times. I don't know how much our listeners heard it, but this was him talking about the new sticky rules and how they have to eliminate everything. Take a listen.
It's hard. I mean, it's so hard to grip the ball. I just, you know, I mean, for Pete's sake, it's part of the reason why almost every player on the field has something, regardless if they're a pitcher or not, to help them control the ball. I think certainly the intent, I agree with. Uniformity, I agree with. I would encourage the commissioner's office to continue to talk with us, please, because we're the ones that throw the ball. They don't. And we're the experts in this situation, and then we're aligned in terms of intent with the commissioner's office as well.
Now, I'm sure you're going to disagree with me, but I listened to it, and I got a little angry. And I'm like, all of sports is hard. It's hard to hit a jump shot in basketball, but when you're unable to do it, they don't lower the hoop for you. Throwing a baseball is hard. Hitting a baseball is hard. So do it well. Carve your craft. Why do you have to add this stuff and whine and bitch about when they take away illegal substances?
Why hasn't Major League Baseball done anything for the past, you know, decade plus when these things became as prevalent as they were? That's the frustrating part to me. You know, Garrett, like, I look at Tyler Glasnow, who, you know, wasn't quite as strong as Cole in speaking out to the commissioner, but said the same thing. And Tyler Glasnow came up in 2016. There hasn't been a suspension for foreign substances in the time he's been in the big leagues. And you're telling me all of a sudden now, you know, 6 years later, you want guys to change on the fly? I think what Gerrit Cole was saying, Sylvie, is that we should all be working together on this, and that unilateral imposition of these rules midstream in a season is just wrong. And I think that there's a lot of logic to that. I also think that the position that baseball is taking, which is there's cheating going on right now, and we should stop that, also is a pretty logical position. So this is a hard one. And, you know, when I write columns, quite often I like to go into them with a very strong opinion and espouse that opinion. On this one, I don't know if you saw what I wrote yesterday, but it was essentially there are points and there are counterpoints here, right, and both of them have validity. And I don't think Gerrit Cole is whining. I don't think he's bitching. I think he's one of the best pitchers in the world, regardless of whether he's using foreign substances or not. And he's saying, if you want this game to be played at the level that you are used to and that you are used to seeing as fans, then maybe this is something we should consider. And here's the thing, if you want to take this away and go cold turkey, I do believe the quality of the product is going to go down. And if that's something that, you know, that you're okay with, something that you can live with as Major League Baseball, then hey, you know, go and do what you're doing right now. But I think a conversation between the sides would be a good thing for the sport. And I think changes, or at least some compromise here, would put baseball in a better place and not be looked at as fans by like they're cheating or that this is unfair, but that both the players and the league agreeing upon something like this is probably the best outcome.
Would they have been better served if they had Theo, who's worked with all these players as the Cubs president, as the Red Sox general manager, and who's like sort of their now liaison on improving the game, in doing a conference call with the players and saying, look, we don't want to have to unilaterally implement this rule in the midseason. We need you guys, though, to stop. And this is serious, or else we're going to have to take the next step. Should they have eased into it a little bit more?
I think there are some things behind the scenes that have gone on, and it gets back to the, you know, the relationship with the players and the owners with collective bargaining stuff that has prevented that from happening, which is a really unfortunate consequence of the degradation of this relationship. Because, yeah, everybody in the game should have been involved from the start here. But I think there was some skepticism on the player side. I don't think that the league aggressively pursued this and said that this is imperative. And because of that, here we are with, you know, more fighting and more complaining and more questions about the game, when in reality, this should have been, if this was going to be rolled out, this should have been rolled out in a way where everybody was involved and everybody agreed that we're going to get this right instead of having, you know, a bad look for baseball. I'm worried that this is going
to
be.
I was just going to say goodbye to him, too. We lost Jeff. All right, say goodbye to him, too. Tell him,
bye,
great,
Jeff.
Great work on the whole thing. And Passan's awesome. Jeff Passan, who joins us each and every week. All right, I'll take more of your phone calls about the Bears being interested in putting in a bid to purchase Arlington Park. And if you missed Lori Lightfoot's statement, it is back up, and the disses to the Bears are still there. I'll reread you that, 332-3776. Just had some almonds, too. Hey, golfers, it's me, Sylvie. I want to tell you about Chicago's Southland's finest golf course, the Sanctuary Golf Course in New Lenox, home of the extraordinary $38 Wednesday special. They've also got, like, the best pro on earth there. My guy, Bob, who's a fellow Saluki. Everyone plays for $38 on Wednesday, and that includes your cart fee. The Sanctuary Golf Course, one of Chicagoland's most beautiful courses, is just minutes from I-80 and 355. New in 2021, every sand bunker drainage system has been fully repaired. So it's time to book your tee time at golfsanctuary.com. That's golfsanctuary.com.
This is the home of Waddle and Sylvie for the ride home. Weekdays 2 to 6 on ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports.
Eventful day today up at Hallis Hall. Ted Phillips sent out a statement at about 1:45 today saying that the Bears have indeed put in a bid to purchase Arlington Park and that land there to build a new stadium. We'll see what kind of a bid. I've had some texts from friends not in the know who have just speculated. Look, the Bears, they probably are using it for leverage. Are they serious about it? Will they be willing to spend top dollar in competition to get that land? It's going to be an interesting space, and there are other competitors with the Bears.
Listen, this thing is 10 years away, maybe 2033, and Chris Bleck is already trying to plan out how we're going to get to games. Do we take two cars? So, I mean, do we have to pay for two parking spots? Like, how is this going to work? Do we just meet in a central location and then drive there? I'm like, dude, this thing's 10 years away.
It's fun to think about, man.
It's the stuff I think about.
It's like thinking about when Justin Fields is going to play. It's like, yeah, it's cool. We got the toy, but it's going to be a minute before
we
get to play.
Tell us what
I
said about that. Relating to Justin Fields and playing at this new hypothetical stadium.
Chris just told me that he was perusing an article by The Athletic.
No. You do not follow any conversations I say. We're sticking on the Bears in the stadium.
I thought you were talking about Zach Wilson.
Think about it this way.
you said Justin Fields. No.
Go on a break. Go into the studio. Pull Sylvie. Go into the studio over there. Sylvie, what I was saying
to you don't want the smoke.
Sylvie, did you hear Abdallah last night say that La Russa is the manager of the year?
Cap was saying that too today.
He must have been listening to the show. All I said was, if you look at what constitutes a manager of the year, a team that deals with a lot of injuries is one of the is in first place.
Gar won executive of the year.
I'm telling you that he will be in consideration.
Of course, he will.
I didn't say he's the manager of the year. I said he will be in consideration.
He may win it, though, but it's woefully wrong, too. I've used woefully twice today, my address to the mayor, and now with Tony La Russa.
So
Cap took your take.
I'm glad Cap listened to the show last night.
No credit, though.
He always does. You know he's doing it, and he's trying to tweak you guys.
Steal
your opinion.
Yeah, that's it. That's more like it.
I didn't say that.
So what I was saying to Abdallah after talking about trying to worry about parking and getting to Arlington Heights from the city was that I said, 33 takes about 10 years or so to kind of get a stadium up, running, construction, the whole thing. I go, Yeah, man, I mean, the stadium's going to be ready to go in Arlington Heights, and Justin Fields is going to be past his prime by the time they actually have a chance to play
there. I was thinking
there.
He is just entering the prime. Like, think about Aaron Rodgers.
10 years? Okay,
he will be like an eight-time Pro Bowler, a two-time MVP. We're going to call it the stadium that Justin Fields built.
I hope.
You know what I mean?
Like, he's only 22. If he's on the Brady plan, he's playing until he's 50.
I'm cool with that.
You know what I was worried about? I was thinking about this, and we had a couple of old guys call too. I'm like, by the time this gets built, I'll be 60. It's not fun, you know. I'm turning 50 in
Mason
September.
Will be in college.
Yeah, I mean, Mason would be he would be like a senior or junior in high school. Like, that's scary to think about. Like, how long do I even have at the new stadium? You know, this new stadium. I'm like, I could go there for 5 years. And then
5 years, come on.
You never know.
We now salute 98-year-old Bears fan, Mark Silverman. And you just holding up a football like George Bush.
That really slow wave. Can I read you the statement from Mayor Lightfoot? They have deleted the tweet, and then they reissued it because they spelled soldier right this time. They spelled soldier wrong last time. Statement from Mayor Lightfoot on the Bears' bid to buy Arlington Racecourse. Quote, our city is home to some of the world's finest teams who have played a vital role in the city's reopening. As part of the city's recovery, many organizations are doubling down on their commitment to Chicago, and we expect the Chicago Bears to follow suit. The Bears are locked into a lease at Soldier Field until 2033. In addition, this announcement from the Bears comes in the midst of negotiations for improvements at Soldier Field. This is clearly a negotiating tactic that the Bears have used before. As a season ticket holder and longtime Bears fan, I am committed to keeping the Chicago name in our football team. And like most Bears fans, we want the organization to focus on putting a winning team on the field, beating the Packers finally, and being relevant past October. Everything else is noise. That's from the mayor of Chicago. Let's see here. Kevin in Bucktown's been patient. Kev, you're on ESPN 1000. What's on your mind?
Hey, fellas. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Yeah, I got to say, I agree with the mayor. You know, Sylvia, I agree with everything you're saying about getting to the stadium and upgrading the stadium and potential Final Fours. But, yeah, it's Chicago. It's Soldier Field. It's on the lakefront. You know, these teams got to come here and battle us in our environment. And I think we're best when, you know, it's freezing cold outside. So I, you know, also think that it's a monument. You know, it's Soldier's Field. We got to renovate. We got to upgrade. It's just like Wrigley. You know, it's history. It's part of the city. And my last point is all of our teams are in the city now. So I don't want any of them to leave.
Yeah, ideally, I like having places downtown in the city to go to, but it's got to be done right. And Soldier Field is wrong.
They lost a playoff game because the kicker wasn't willing to go test the wind.
Right, that's
true. Can we just be done with this dumb weather
stuff?
He
didn't want to be stuck in traffic. Well, I mean, look, the story I always tell is my senior year. It was the year that the Bears were still under the Ditka years, where they had a chance to win their second Super Bowl. It was the 80s. They flirted with all these different playoff runs, but they would be eliminated by the Redskins. And it was the 88 season, I believe it was January of 89, when the 49ers came to town. The San Francisco 49ers, California Cool, Joe Montana, Jerry Rice, all those guys from the 49ers. It was one of the coldest days for the NFC Championship game. We thought we had them where we wanted them. And the California team came to town and they kicked our ass. Like a lot of football players will tell you, these football players grew up in Texas and Florida. Even though they play for the Chicago Bears, they'd rather play in a dome too. They don't want to be in the cold. 332-3776. Alex in the West Loop, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Alex?
Hey, how you doing, Sylvie?
We're good, thanks.
I got a couple of points here. Some of them are kind of half joking, but some of them are a couple serious ones. A lot of points you keep repeating. The first one being more tailgating, which is fair. Obviously, there's a need for it. But at the same time, we have the same people that are complaining about it being too cold. What do we expect more people are going to want to go tailgate out in the cold? It's not like tailgating is out in a bubble. I think that kind of goes along with it being the whole being too cold argument. Another thing is I know it's been mentioned about more seating. I feel like the Bears Stadium, Soldier Field, is already pretty loud whenever it gets going out there. I don't know what more fans necessarily brings. I know I'm one of the people that buys tickets last minute a lot, and I'll go on StubHub or something. There's always something available, so I don't think there's necessarily a shortage, and it's not like they're going to get cheaper if they build this big new stadium.
I'll address that, Alex. Let me address that coming up, all right, because we're a little late, and I appreciate your call. 332-3776 if you want to react. The mayor has issued the statement. The Bears have told everyone that they are interested in purchasing Arlington. What would you think? And I respond to only having 61,500 at Soldier Field next.
It's a lot better than the 10 Zoom meetings you've been on today.
This may take a couple of days, maybe more.
Tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000 and listen to Waddle and Sylvie on Chicago's home for sports.
ESPN 1000.
Great calls on this Bear Stadium news. We've speculated for a long time. I always credit Brian Hanley. I think he was the first guy I heard it from who always speculated, hey, keep this in mind. Arlington's probably going to sell. Churchill Downs owns them. The Bears, according to Hanley, had been interested. And this continued to advance. And finally, Ted Phillips today tweeted out that the Bears have put in a bid. And they're not the only ones, obviously, but this could be something, could maybe be a negotiating ploy, like the mayor said, Mayor Lightfoot. I'll get to all these calls here in just a second. We also have What's at Stake Tonight, brought to you by GT Prime. Gideon just went to GT Prime. He won a gift card.
Yeah.
What was it? Was it his birthday yesterday?
It was his birthday, yeah.
So he won a gift card from us, and Gideon celebrated his birthday. Happy birthday to Gideon. It looked good. He cleaned up nice, and he said it was outstanding. He recommended the server, and he just said that they waited on him hand and foot, and the food was awesome. So you can follow Gideon, and you can win this gift card to GT Prime. All right, caller 20 and caller 40. Now, 20 has the advantage, 332-3776. 312-332-3776. Caller 20 gets to pick whether or not you want the White Sox tonight with Dylan Cease on the mound, or do you want the Astros? And caller 40 will get the opposite. So if caller 20 takes the Sox, you'll get the Astros. We're just going to play it on the money line. Whoever wins gets the gift card. GT Prime, located at 707 North Wells Street. For more information, visit GTPrimeRestaurant.com. Giuseppe Tintori is their outstanding chef and partner. Rob Katz, Kevin Bame make up the award-winning Boca Restaurant Group. And they're available for takeout and delivery. And they also want to congratulate GT Prime's sister restaurant, GT Fish and Oyster, for celebrating 10 years in the business. I just passed GT Oyster yesterday driving in to the station. 312-332-3776. Let's go to Will in Lakeview. Will wants to talk some Bears Stadium. Will, you're on ESPN 1000. What's on your mind?
All right. So I think, obviously, this is like a move by the Bears, but I think it's just like what the Ricketts did in Wrigleyville. Like, if you want to talk about what sucks about Soldier Field now, it's that it used to hold 120,000 people.
Right.
It was like the game was accessible to people, and now it's like a rich playground with mostly suite level seats. That's what sucks about Wrigley too, is a ticket costs $50 and you're sitting next to a guy who works for Chase Bank. Like, that's what's fun about the White Sox right now, is the tickets are still affordable. The team is good. The atmosphere is really fun. But even then, you're going to sit in a parking lot for an hour before the game because you don't want to spend $10 for beer inside. Like, the power that the McCaskies have, which, first of all, they're weird people. They're just weird people. I went to high school at Notre Dame and Niles. One of the McCaskey brothers, like, came into our senior breakfast, like, when I was in high school and, like, sang a version of Bear Down Chicago Bears about our high school. It was just weird, like, because this guy has so much power and donates so much money to the university. It was just weird. And, parking obviously sucks at Soldiers. I think it would be better if they went out, like, parking would be better if they went out to the suburbs, but public transportation to the suburbs sucks. The Metra is mediocre at best transit system in terms of just, like, how people from the suburbs even would get to the game.
Well, let me keep I got a tally going here. All right, you called the McCaskies weird. Metra sucks. Wrigley Field and Soldier Field, too full of rich people. And the beer prices suck because it's too high price. I think I got your list. Yes. Am I right? Yes?
I stand by those statements.
I love you. All right. Thanks, Will. Thanks for calling.
Have a good one.
I just told Will I loved him. I don't know why. This is the first time I've talked to Will, I think. He's classic. I want to address the thing that I said I would, too, about this $61,500. Someone said, look, you could still get a ticket. It's more than that. I mean, your season ticket base could be bigger, which means more money for your team, which means more money put back into the team. There's so much that whether or not the noise is good or not, you want to make it available for more people to go to games when especially there's this demand. There's only 10 games a year.
I've said it before. I'll say it again. If you want to see a decent sized stadium, go 3 hours to Indiana. It holds 70,000 people. They get the Big Ten championship game. They get the Big Ten tournament. They do concerts. They do everything. Look at Lucas Oil Stadium in Indianapolis. It is a great place to see a game. There's not a bad seat in the entire place. There's entrances all over, not just two, like at Soldier Field. You can enter in any door. It's climate controlled. It's beautiful. They have a retractable roof thing, like window thing, where you can open it if you want to. It's great. It's a great place to see a game. My in-laws have Colts season tickets, so I've gone to a game with them. It's a great place. And it's still, it only holds 70,000, but you can still get, that's 10,000 more people.
10,000 more. You could do 70, 75 here. You could do, I think Lambeau's 80 now. Like, think of, there's another event you just mentioned. We can't get the Big Ten football championship because of the cold weather.
The Big Ten Network is here, and they have their championship in another state.
The whole Big Ten is here. I mean, the Big Ten headquarters is here.
Think about it. We talked about it earlier this week. What's the big story in college football right now?
The
expansion
playoffs.
For the playoffs. Wouldn't you like Chicago to be a part of a hosting of the semifinals?
Of course.
If that was possible, that would be pretty
cool. Of course it would be
cool.
Possible. National the Final Four? Game. Yeah, all of it. About winter concerts. You know, we have to wait all damn winter, all damn cold spring to get a good concert. If someone big who's doing a 50,000 seat show, they can perform in December or January or February. Joe in Gray's Lake, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Joe?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I just want to start. Fleck and Abdallah, I'm a fellow Libertyville alum, and Sylvie, I'm a fellow SIU alum.
Oh, look at this. You got all the bases covered with the three of us.
No, I just wanted to comment. Everyone arguing that, you know, we got to stay at Soldier Field because of the bear weather. Well, the Bears aren't beating anyone in bear weather, so I really don't see that as an advantage.
No, I'm with you. I mean, again, I don't think that anyone likes playing in the cold. I really don't. I don't think anyone likes playing in the cold. I think deep down, while we all have great drunk stories about being in the cold, I don't think any of us like being out in 20 below zero. I think it's all silly. I mean, when we go to the United Center, I love that. Like, I hate the walk for two blocks from Lot D to the United Center for a Bulls or Hawks game. It's freezing. And that's a 10-minute walk when I get in finally. And there's a line, you know, to get in the doors there at Madison. And you're like, you feel the blast of the heat as you're entering in January and February when those doors are open. You're like, oh, nice. Like, who the hell wants to really sit out for 4, 5, 6 hours in the freezing cold weather? It is not healthy for any of us. It doesn't make you tougher.
You're soft. You have a couple beers. You have a couple shots of Fireball.
Sausage.
The sausage grease, it keeps your lips warm. They don't freeze off.
Just get that grease on your hands.
Just put a little bit on your face. It's on your face. It's sausage on your fingers. Grease. Buy two sausages.
Jardinere.
Put one in each foot.
Well, jardinere.
To keep your feet warm.
What about Hampton? Hampton used to like to play in the cold without the sleeves. He's in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah,
that's a real Hall of Famer.
These millennials, Sylvie.
I don't think NFL players are built like Hamp anymore. I mean, come on now.
332-3776. More calls on the Bears Stadium and possibly moving to Arlington Heights. And your chance to win the Screwball sign-off a day early. As Abdallah would say, it's not $50, it's not $75, it's not $100, it's not $150, it's $200 gift card to Declan's, courtesy of Screwball Peanut Butter Whiskey. We'll give that away coming up next.
What is your name, please?
Waddle and Sylvie.
Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie and at ESPN_Chicago. This is ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
We have Sox baseball coming up in about 40 minutes. Connor McKnight, Glenn Kasper, Darren Jackson. Big series against Houston. Abdallah and Black continue the fun talk coming up at 6 o'clock. They're on from 6 to 6:30. So 6:30 pregame, 7:10 first pitch. Four-game series in Houston. A lot of reminiscing, too, to 2005. So I did a poll question. Now that the Bears have officially shown interest in purchasing Arlington Park, if you missed it and you're just getting into your car, Ted Phillips sent out a statement. The Bears have put in a bid to buy the land where Arlington Park resides. Are you in favor of a new Bears stadium in Arlington Heights? Over 4,000 people have voted. You can vote on my Twitter page, at Waddle and Sylvie. It's brought to you by our local Chicagoland Toyota dealers. And a whopping 77% of you say yes, you're in favor of it. 23% voting no. Before we get back to some of the calls, guys, do you want to do the Screwball sign-off here, Abdallah?
Oh, it is time for sign-off. You lucky people waited. You didn't call me when I said to wait, so none of you owe me $200 this week. Maybe I'll get that $200 next week. But right now, be caller 20 to 312-332-3776, and you will win $200 to Declan's Irish Pub in Old Town, courtesy of Screwball Peanut Butter Whiskey, a weekend with Screwball.
And it's bound to get a little bit nutty. I love it. Screwball Peanut Butter Whiskey. I finally tried it a few weeks ago, and it is outstanding. It's outstanding to mix. It's outstanding to drink neat. You want a couple of ice cubes in there. It's outstanding as well.
Now that we're fully open, going back to bars and stuff, people are ordering Screwball shots.
Yeah.
I was with a group.
Oh, it's
round
easy.
Of Screwball shots.
And it tastes good. The shot tastes good. You don't have to, you know, act weird like when you drink a shot of Malort. Corey on the south side, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Corey?
Hey, what's going on, fellas?
You tell me, what's on your mind?
Man, I am so for this new stadium. I'm like a big stadium dude, so like when I travel to the Bears game, away games, I'm looking at everybody else's stadiums. I just can't imagine like why we have the smallest stadium in the league. And I'm just super happy that this is finally happening. Because I actually took a tour of the Dallas Cowboys Stadium.
Right.
I didn't even know they like offered to it. I pull up there just to look at it, and they're offering like $50 tour for like 2 hours. And I'm walking through this place, and the tour guy was just explaining like Jerry Jones will rent out any part of the stadium for anything. If you want like a wedding, a bar mitzvah, whatever corporate event, he's all for it. So I can just imagine all the opportunities that a new stadium in Chicago could bring.
And Corey,
I'm just super excited.
Corey, tell everyone, too, how far from downtown Dallas is AT&T Stadium?
Oh, as far. It's probably about equivalent to where the Arlington Stadium is probably going to be. So,
totally agree. Good call, Corey. Thank you.
Thanks, man.
All right, let's go to Max on the north side. Max, you're on ESPN 1000.
Hey, how's it going?
We're good, Max.
Hey, good. I mean, I was going to say the Chicago Bears, right, should play for Chicago, right? We're not the Arlington Bears. And plus, for all the hate Soldier Field gets, like, I've been there a number of times, and, like, it's not that bad of a stadium. Yeah. And it's, you know, it's downtown, right off Lakeshore Drive on the lakefront. Like, I think that we should stick in the city. And Soldier Field is an iconic part of the city of Chicago, and being from the city is a big part of the Bears' identity.
Max, so how do you respond to my counter that I tweeted it out too? That, look, yes, the Chicago Bears, but A, they originated in Decatur, Illinois. B, they reside every day of the year in Lake Forest.
But it doesn't matter. I mean, where you play is kind of where you're from, right? That's kind of how we attribute other teams, right? So, like, I don't know. I think being from Chicago and playing from Chicago has become such a big part of our identity that it would be a mistake to move out of the state.
And when if they were to move to Arlington Heights, they would still be the Chicago Bears. Just like the Giants, just like the Jets, just like the Cowboys, just like the 49ers, who all play away from their metropolitan area. And many more teams, too. The Miami Dolphins are still the Miami Dolphins. It wouldn't change. It wouldn't. And, you know, I just hope they do it right. I don't care where it is. I just want a better experience and a better stadium than Bears fans have currently. Richard in Barrington, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Richard?
Hey, you just took it away from me there, Sylvie. I was in South Florida when they announced that the Dolphins were leaving the Orange Bowl and moving to West Fort Lauderdale. The whole city went into a panic, but it was never easier stadium to get into, out of, and like you said, what teams play in their city? Washington football team doesn't, the Giants, the Jets, the Cowboys, San Francisco, everyone. But yeah, that park is Joe Robbie Stadium. Was class. We could name it Hallis Stadium.
Yeah, I think they would sell it for a lot more. I'm sure what the Bears would do is do naming rights, as they should, because you can make a ton of money off of that. It's not a bad idea. You know, one team that I never mentioned either, and I know they're not called the Boston Patriots, back in the day they were, but the New England Patriots are Boston's team. Do you know how hard Foxborough is to get to? Someone called earlier, I think, no, it was Dan. It was Dan Weeder from the Tribune, who said earlier what they did with that new stadium. New England used to have the worst stadium in the NFL. It was the only place that I'd ever been to that was worse than the old Soldier Field. And they built a really nice stadium. We visited it in 06, took a trip with me, Zetterman, my buddy Perry, and Carmen. And Berger was there too. And what they've done there is they've built this whole like setup now with hotels and restaurants and everything like that. Foxborough isn't in Boston. No one in Boston really complains about it. So I just think that we get caught up on some small things instead of focusing on, we have bad scoreboards, we have a low capacity, we don't have a retractable roof and can't draw any events. You can't go east, you can't go west when you try and get out of Soldier Field. You can't walk there. You got to go through a maze, through all the museums. They sometimes have to let me out at Columbus. And I'm like, and now I got to go here. It's a half hour walk when the stadium's right there.
I'm practically walking a charity 10K to get back to the train.
It's amazing.
After a game.
And then they herd you into this these little gated areas. And it's so bad. Mm-hmm. It is such a bad experience. So I'm glad they're exploring this. We'll see where it goes. It's going to be interesting, just like the field stuff is very interesting. Again, White Sox baseball coming up in just a half hour from right now. Bleck and Abdallah are in for some fun. 312-332-3776. A lot for them to talk about with you, so load up the phone lines at 332-3776. Thank you to Chuck Garfine and Jeff Passan and Jed Hoyer. Don't miss that Jed Hoyer interview. It's available. He joined us for about 20 minutes. It's available on the ESPN Chicago app. Thanks to Abdallah and Black for not only co-hosting but producing the show. I'm Sylvie. It's ESPN 1000. Have yourself a great Thursday night.
It's the classic.
I am really excited.
That was a big thrill.
Hi, it's Andre Dawson, including myself, Ed Belfour.
Who's getting wild tonight? What I'm talking about, baby.
No high from you.
What?
No high from you.
I'd give him more buys than highs.
Waddle, waddle, waddle. Then he waddled away. Waddle, waddle. Till the very next day. Bum, 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 bum.
And thank you to all and to all a good night.